Patty DeGange and Shirley Gutkowski are known for bringing their Midwestern sensibility to today's health issues with an eye towards the future. With decades of experience in clinical dental hygiene, writing about it, speaking on it, and pondering over all aspects of it, Patty and Shirley challenge dental hygienists to reach higher levels of revolutionary thinking to meet 21st century patient needs, wants, and expectations. Beware their infectious excitement. It can be catchy.
Hello, it's Shirley Gutkowski. And this is Patty DeGange. Hey, Shirley, I want to talk to you about something that, oh my gosh, I love, absolutely love what I'm doing these days, and writing my dental code allergy books is all about, you know, getting ready for electronic health records. I ain't talking about paperless. I'm talking about interoperable, where dentistry talks to medicine, then talks to pharma, that whole world, and getting ready for it. And I started in the first book because I have answered this question over and over and over and over and over. Did I say enough over, sir?
I don't know. How many did you count?
Yeah.
So what's the question that you had to answer many times?
About alternating D4910 and D1110. Do we alternate? Can we alternate? I was told to alternate. Somebody alternates for me. And, you know, I just, it makes me crazy because even those, and there's many people probably listening and reading here, that reading our articles, that know the answer. That, you know, yeah, alternating isn't quite right, but they don't necessarily understand the why.
And that really, or what to do about it, because it gets changed at the insurance company. It gets changed by the front office lady who's got a, you know, God complex or something along those lines. But it's really, it's up to us as the clinician who's making the treatment plan, all of that kind of stuff, to use the right code. So what do you do about that?
Well, first of all, let me just speak to that, because what that really is insurance fraud. And I've had people, hygienists, say, well, yeah, but I'm not doing it. It's like, yeah, but in most offices, there's two licensed providers, the dentist and the hygienist. So if there's insurance fraud that's happening, there's only two licensed providers that are at risk. And if you think about it another way is, you know, and I will, I'm going to challenge you on the God complex. You know, the people that I work with are business professionals. Now, okay, they always behave that way. Now, to be honest with you, neither do any of us. But the idea that there is this challenge between us, they don't know necessarily any better than the hygienist than we hygienists do. And I think we're all doing the very best that we know, or what we think we know. And, you know, because they get told to do this or do that. But the thing is that person that's filling out those forms with, again, with their electronic paper or whatever, their name doesn't go on it anywhere. In actuality, neither is the hygienist, unless you're in some kind of an alternative practice setting or whatever, which is happening more and more, hooray, hooray. But the dentist, if it digs back, it's the dentist, and who performed that treatment is the hygienist. And our name is in those charts. Our name is identified with this case. We would be called up in a fraud case because we are related. We are a part of the process. So that's why it's so important. The thing about this is, the important part is not that I can give somebody code numbers. People ask me all the time, well, what's a code for? And I come back to them with the same answer all the time is, what's the dental medical necessity? That is not a term that's known well at all in dentistry.
Well, it's obvious. They're bleeding. Or they have a hole in a tooth. Well, that's the thing. You know, we're so automated. Oh, well, they have perio disease, so here's a perio chart, and we're going to have to scrape the junk off the teeth. Or, oh, well, there's a hole there, so we're going to fill it. It's a small hole, so we're going to fill it with a small filling. So we get trapped up in this, let's go to treatment, without ever really talking about the risk and all that stuff.
And the thing is with the codes themselves, and the way we had done the codes been traditionally, is I call CDT book the book about stuff, the code stuff. The code stuff is just the treatment stuff. And we don't, even by how that has been put together to this point, it's, we don't value diagnosis very much. We don't value risk assessment, except those times are changing. First of all, we don't have any exam codes at all. They're evaluation codes. What's the difference? A written diagnosis and a treatment plan. That's what an evaluation is. It includes that plus the information. And we now have risk assessment codes. The carries risk assessment codes are the only risk assessment codes we have. And should we use them because we have codes? No, codes are not supposed to be the driver. Codes are the supportive part for what we've already figured out. But the insurance company, well, first of all, know what an insurance company covers or not. I advise nobody to go down that road and discuss coverage. Because if, God forbid, Shirley gets in a car accident, I get in a car accident, and somebody else gets in a car accident, we all have State Farm car insurance. Do we know what's covered? Shirley's hood bump, hood ornament covered. How about my aerial? Do I have an aerial in a car anymore? I don't know. Cars keep changing. But thing, that is the whole thing. Things keep changing.
Yep.
And the thing is we can't know. And we don't know what benefits they bought, when they were bought, any of that stuff. That's not our job. Our job is to use the most accurate code. Now, this whole perio diagnosis thing, we like punching that one, don't we? And we'll do that again. We like tackling that. But let's just talk about it from the perspective of an insurance carrier. United Concordia Dental, they update their parameters, and a friend of mine that works in a group practice sent me them, and this is a quote of what they consider to be considered for benefit. Diagnostic materials must demonstrate the following consistent with professional standards. And I'm quoting somebody else here. Clinical loss of periodontal attachment and or radiographic evidence of crestal bone loss or changes in the lamina dura and or radiographic evidence of root calculus. Let's take these backwards. Let's talk about that root calculus. Oh, Shirley, are you rolling your eyes?
No, yeah, not at all.
Not at all. Because we know that the reason periodontal disease exists is because of all the calculus. And that's why we have the term scaling and root planing. Every part of that is archaic. Waiting for bone loss and waiting for calculus on the radiographs is like waiting for, it's like, let's wait till someone has a heart attack before, if they have high blood pressure. We're not going to put them on any medication until they have the heart attack. Really? That's really what that's about. The second parameter is about bone height. Now, again, I could challenge this because, again, it's the same analogy of the heart attack, waiting for the heart attack before we look for a certain level of disease. But here's the question. If it's bone height, what's normal? When we're measuring from the alveolar crest to the CEJ, what's normal? Shirley, you've asked that question.
Well, we were doing during our Killing the Parrot courses, and really nobody knows. What is normal? Even the instructors are looking at each other, and I'm like, okay. It's just like with the perio probe. How much pressure are you supposed to put on? Nobody remembers.
Yeah, that's cookie thing, right? The Newtons. Newton cookies. Yeah, we talked about that last time. It's like, it's nonsensical. And that we don't know that it's 1.5 to 2 millimeters. That is radiographic, really. We have to measure radiographs. And, of course, we take radiographs only of the back teeth, and they never have any anterior disease except every 3 to 5 years. Again, this is the craziness. And that's that first parameter, which is about clinical attachment loss. Now, we know that we jumped on perio probing kind of hard, and we question it, and we're going to continue. But yet, at this point, that is still the measurement tool that we have. So, we have the 3-2-3 or whatever. Clinical attachment loss is not pocket depth. That radiographic bone height is not pocket depth.
Right.
So let's talk about, let's say we're starting in the distal buccal of 2, and the sulcus depth is 3-2-3. Ooh, healthy. Well, is there recession? And if there's recession, if we chart it, 1-1-3, 3-1-3, 3-2-3, 3-3-3. Yeah. Aren't they all different diagnostic points? Aren't we talking about different levels of clinical attachment loss? Now we see some sign of inflammation, but it's got, and there's 3 millimeter sulcus, but 3 millimeter of recession. Don't we have an active situation of 6 millimeters in depth? That's the whole...
Well, that's how much is missing. But, Patty, there's nothing saying that it was caused by periodontal disease.
Yeah, darn straight. Because, when you start charting the recession, what my experience is, that's when I started charting the recession and looking at occlusion. Putting those things together is the clues. Because the damage isn't always the inflammatory thing. Why do we have to wait for something to bleed before we consider it inflammatory? And is that even inflammatory?
Right.
Same circles. Well, let's go back to this question. So the hygienist, the business person tells the hygienist, I called the insurance carrier and they said they can alternate. Well, yeah, they can say that because what the insurance carrier can do is tell you what's covered under a policy. That's all they can tell you. That doesn't mean that that's how it should be coded.
Yep.
Coding is a result of the medical dental necessity, which is both the diagnosis of the current condition plus the risk assessment for future damage. That's medical necessity. So if somebody has, let's say we do diagnose and treat for periodontal disease, however we do that, when that person now has an established diagnosis, it's like somebody that's been diagnosed with diabetes. If they're stable when they come back to see their physician 3 months later, does that mean they're not diabetic anymore?
I don't know.
Well, they still have diabetes. They're just managed.
They're just stable. Managed.
That's what the coding thing is about. It's about that established diagnosis. So we don't go back to say, well, we're just going to do a prophy. Now, part of this is a really screwed up numbering system that doesn't make sense. I will grant everyone that. But this is the world we live in. So you don't go back and forth between this, because what you're doing is changing what the diagnosis is, you're saying. Now, what if somebody comes back and they're stable and they think they're stable enough that we can do a prophy? Well, guess what? Then it's a 1110. But you don't go back to 4910 again. Because you said they were healthy enough. In order to go, you can't manage a disease that you said was healed. So there needs to be a new diagnosis and new treatment.
I know. And it changes. If that person's HR department makes a new relationship with the same insurance company or a different insurance company, you know, whatever happened last time is maybe different this time. But from a coding's perspective, we have to figure out a way that is beneficial and truthful for the patient.
Right. And treat what needs to be treated. But it's not about here's this number or that number that equals this or that. Codes aren't product specific. Codes aren't procedure specific. They're person specific. It's about the people.
Yeah.
And it's about critical thinking. And again, that's, no games really have to be played. This isn't really that complicated, but it does take thinking.
It sure does. And that's what we're hoping to accomplish with these articles. So I'm really interested to see the comments below this article, as we are with all of the rest of them. I'm Shirley Gutkowski.
And this is Patty DeGangi.
Talk to you soon.